Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
That 2 Corinthians 4, and I want to look at another verse or two here tonight. We started in here on Sunday, and Lord's willing, we'll be back here again this coming up Sunday and look at some more things again. But I want to look at a couple more verses here. I preached on Sunday really primarily out of verse number 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. And I dealt with some reasons for fainting Sunday night, but on Sunday morning I dealt with as Paul begins to write to us, he said therefore seeing we, there was a realization that Paul came to there that he was not in the ministry alone. And I was thinking about this even again today, or not today, but yeah, I thought about it today as I said, but I thought about it yesterday. Brother John White came up here, Pastor's Freedom Baptist Church. Of course, he's preached for us. And whenever we do our dedication revival, he's going to be preaching one of the nights of it. He's been a very instrumental person in my life over the past year. But anyway, he came up here and was looking at the building, and we was talking about what the Lord was doing, and we was talking about how thankful we was that we had friends in the ministry. And you know, in serving the Lord, we're not by ourselves. We have people. Paul realizes that because he says, we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. I talked about how he said in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We've got each other. So there was his realization. Then there was his remembrance. He said, we have received mercy. And he remembered that the reason we do what we do is because we've received mercy at the hand of God. Today I was there at the motel, not at the motel, at the hospital. I was there at the hospital today, and one thing that I love about modern technology is that with Logos, the program that I use to buy the biggest part of my books, I've got over 700 books on my iPad. And I was sitting there and I was reading what John Phillips had to say about this passage. And he was talking about mercy, and he talked about how the Israelites was able to escape to Egypt because of the mercies of God. He was talking about how in Jonah chapter number 4, Jonah refers to the mercies of God, and it was because of the mercies of God that Nineveh escaped the judgment that was coming to him. Then he talked about one of the Psalms. The main theme of that Psalm is the mercies of God, and how in 26 verses, 26 different times, it talks about his mercies endureth forever, and he talked about the mercies of God. And you know, the reason we are able to do what we do is because of the mercies of God. And Paul remembers that. He looks back and he says it's because of the mercies of God that we're able to do what we do. So there was Paul's realization and Paul's remembrance. Then we looked at the reason Sunday night that a lot of people today. And we talked about fear, and then of course that last one we talked about frustration, and how a lot of people they faint in the ministry because they just get frustrated with things going on. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want to go to verse number 3 and look in verse 3, 4, and 5 tonight, and look a little bit here. The Bible said this. I'm just going to let you remain seated. The Bible said this in verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And I'll say this to you, man, that's the result of fainting tonight. The world doesn't see the gospel through us. I read something the other day, and I can't even remember exactly the number that it showed, but it talked about how many people will read their Bible a day and how many people will read a Christian today. And it was tens of thousands more that look at us as Christians that don't read their Bible every day, but they're reading a Bible through our life. And the result of us fainting and giving up and not being faithful to the ministry is others will not see Christ in us. He said this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4 says this, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, Father, help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd use us for just a little while. I pray, God, Father, Lord, that you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth, Lord, as only you can. We'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I about said you can be seated right there just out of habit. But anyway, I want to look at this tonight, and I want to back up into verse number 3 and start with this. A problem that is presented in verse number 3. There's a problem that is presented. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I made reference to Jonah a while ago, and I enjoy studying the book of Jonah. And Jonah's a very interesting book. Jonah is a very unique book. Jonah is unique in that it ends with a question, and chapter 4 is just very interesting in chapter number 4, because Jonah is upset because God sends revival to Nineveh. And there's a lot that we could say about that. You could really do practical application from the Gentiles and the Jews, and we could look at it from that view. Point. He was upset because God showed him mercy. One of the reasons that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh is because of the way the Ninevites treated a missionary, but also because of who they was. He didn't want to share the gospel with them, and he didn't want them to have revival, and he run from it. But God ends up getting Jonah's attention. Jonah does go to Nineveh, and the greatest revival in the history of the world, the whole nation ends up getting right with God. It's amazing. But here's what I'm headed to with that. There was 3 days and 3 nights that Jonah run from that. So, in other words, in those 3 days and 3 nights, the gospel was hid to the nation of Nineveh, to the city of Nineveh. The gospel wasn't there. Why? Because Jonah wasn't doing what Jonah was supposed to do. And he said this, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Here's a question I have for you. How many in Nineveh died and went to hell while Jonah was running from God? And how many people dies and goes to hell on a daily basis because we as so-called Christians hide the gospel from them? We're feigning in what God has us to do. I'll never forget something that Pastor Darrell Cox said one time. He said, soul winning is not something someone does. Soul winning is something someone is. It's what we do. It's what God has called us to do. We can give a tract to anybody. We can, when we go through the drive-through, we can hand them a tract. When we get up from our meal, we can put the tip in a tract and leave them a tract. We can share the gospel on a daily basis. And the problem today when we don't share, when we are fainting in the ministry, is our gospel is hid to them that are lost. There's a problem in verse number 3. But watch this in verse number 4. The Bible said this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I don't only see a problem, but I see the person causing the problem. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, in whom the God of this world, notice that God right there is a little G-O-D, not God, our Heavenly Father. It's not Jesus, it's not God, it's the God of this world. Who is that? That is Satan today. That is the devil today. The person that causes division today, the person that causes the problem today, the person that causes us to hide the gospel from the lost today is the devil himself. Let me read you a verse right here in the book of Ephesians, and you can turn if you want to. I'm going to read it when I get there. Ephesians chapter number 6, you know this verse, but listen to what the Bible said. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 12, the Bible said this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The problem is caused by a person today, and that is the devil. Whether you want to believe this or not, I am not your enemy, and you are not my enemy. Any division that comes in the church, the author of that is Satan himself. If you allow Satan to get into your life into your mind and trip your mind up about the preacher, it's Satan that does that. If you allow Satan to trip your mind up about the Word of God and the accuracy of the Word of God, and let me just say this, the accuracy of the King James Bible that is the Word of God, it's Satan that does that. If you get mad at the preacher or somebody else in the church, it's Satan that is sowing those seeds of doubt and discouragement in your mind. We're not wrestling against each other tonight. We're wrestling against Satan. We can go all the way back, church, to Genesis. This is elementary. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3. And who was it in Genesis chapter number 3 that brought sin into the whole world? The first thing we say, well, that was Eve. No, it was Satan that sowed a seed of doubt in Eve's mind, and because of that, then sin entered into the world. So there is a problem that the gospel is being hid to them that are lost, but the person that is causing that to happen is Satan tonight. That's who it is. Again, I want to say this to you tonight. I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. Satan's all of our enemies, and if we allow him to get in our mind, he will cause us to faint in the ministry that he has for, that God has for us. So I see this tonight. I see a problem in verse number 3. But in the beginning of verse number 4, I see the person that is causing that problem. Well, what is the results of that problem tonight? Look what the Bible said again in verse number 4. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." I see a problem, I see a person, but now watch this, I see a penetration tonight. What did the Bible say? It said that the light of the glorious gospel would shine unto them. I thought about this. The word penetration means this. One of the meanings is this. The extension, usually peaceful, of the influence of one nation or culture into the affairs of another. Can I say that again? The extension, usually peaceful, of the influence of one nation or culture into the affairs of another. Whenever I read that, I thought about this verse right here. Let me read you a verse out of the book of Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. Here's what the Bible said in verse number 13 of Hebrews 11. It says this, "These all died in faith." Of course, we know Hebrews 11 is the heroes of faith. The Bible said these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let me read you another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 20 says this, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." What is an ambassador? Paul likens us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 to an ambassador. What is an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is this whenever you study them out. They are a representative of a country living in another country. In other words, an ambassador of the United States, you can go to different countries of this world, and there is a place where an ambassador of the United States of America is there. They're a representative of the United States in that country. Hear me and hear me well today. The Bible said this in Hebrews chapter number 11, that they was what? Pilgrims and strangers on this earth. Hey, look, my hometown is not Mount Airy, North Carolina. I'm an ambassador here. I am a pilgrim that is passing through here. Hey, look, I am from another country tonight. You say, really? Yes, I sure am. My father is a Jew tonight, amen? My home is in heaven tonight. And this is the thing, I am an ambassador of Christ. I'm an ambassador of heaven here in this world. Now, think about this with me tonight. What did the Bible say? I'm headed somewhere. So what did the Bible say in verse number 4? He said this. He said, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Listen to what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 5. Let me read you a verse. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14 says this. Ye, speaking to us, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We're the light of the world, and we're ambassadors from another country passing through. What does penetration mean? Here's what it means. The extension, usually peaceable or peaceful, of the influence of one nation or culture into the affairs of another. You know what we are tonight? We are the light of the world. Through Christ, we are the light of the world. And you know what we're supposed to be doing? We are supposed to be using the light of the world to penetrate into the darkness of this world. And when we get weary in well-doing, and when we faint, there is a problem, because the light of God is not penetrating into a dark world through you and I. You know, the truth of the matter is, matter of fact, me and a guy named Dustin Murphy was talking a while ago about a situation in our county yesterday. He's one of the deputies in our county. A situation in our county yesterday, just a tragic situation yesterday morning in our county. And he said this. He said, you know, we never really know what's going through anybody's mind. And I said, you know what, Brother Dustin, he's a Christian guy. I said, you're exactly right. We never know what's going through somebody's mind. You know what, it's our responsibility tonight. It's our responsibility as an ambassador of another country. Hey, look, hear me and hear me well. I represent the right country. I represent a country of peace that passeth all understanding. I represent a country and a king tonight that can give you joy unspeakable and full of glory, and in a dark, dark world. And can I say, it is a dark, dark world today. America is the most anxious country in the world. You study me out tonight. There's more anxiety in America than any other country today. We're living in a dark world, but in the midst of a dark world, the reason we can't faint, the reason we can't throw in the towel, the reason we can't walk away from the service of God, because in a dark world, it's up to us to take the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow it to penetrate into the heart of a dark world tonight. That's our responsibility tonight, the penetration tonight. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. And I thought about this. The sun is always shining. The sun is always shining. You know what? If you could, even today with it being cloudy, if you could got high enough, you would have rose above the clouds and the sun would be shining. The problem is this in Christianity today. We allow the world to cloud us up and the sun don't shine through us. It's our responsibility to be at an altitude with God that we push our feelings off of our shoulder. Somebody holler amen and help the preacher right there. That we push our feelings off of our shoulder and we allow the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine through us into this world. So we see this. There's a problem. There's a person. There's a penetration. But I want you to see this in verse number 5. There is a preaching in verse number 5. What did the Bible say in verse number 5? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. Ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. You say, preacher, what is the preaching? The preaching is Jesus Christ. Hear me and hear me well tonight. Now, I want you to stay with me. I'm about done, but I want you to stay. It's not about you. It's not about me. Somebody say amen. It's not about you and it's not about me. If the only reason you're teaching Sunday school is for somebody to give you a pat on the back, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You're not going to have a reward when you get to heaven. If the only reason you stand up and sing is for somebody to give you a pat on the back, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You may build somebody's emotion, but the Spirit of God will never rest on you. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight. We do what we do because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for we preach not ourselves. It is not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who it's about tonight. And when we get our focus off of Him, when we get, hear me and hear me well, when we get our attention off of Him, I promise you we'll faint in the ministry God's put us in. When we get it on anybody else, His preaching, He said this. And can I say this? Let's drop the P right there and say reaching. Because not all are called to preach, but all are called to reach. When we get it off of Him, then I promise you we're headed for fainting in the ministry God has put us in. We're headed for fainting. Paul said, I'm not preaching myself. I'm preaching Jesus Christ. Why are you at church tonight? If you're here for any other reason besides the Lord Jesus Christ, you're here for the wrong reason. Well, if I didn't come tonight, preacher, you would have complained. You'd have got up and preached and hollered and fussed and you ought to be faithful. You know what? A preacher ought not have to get up and preach on being faithful. You ought to just be faithful. That don't have nothing to do with the preacher. That has to do with the Bible. That has to do with Jesus. That has to do with your relationship with the Lord. Well, preacher, you know what? I don't have to go to church in order to be right with God. I strongly disagree with you on that. Forsake not the assembling. That's a gathering together. Where, if you're not going to church, where are you taking your tithe to? He said, take it to the storehouse. That's the local church. Amen. It's Wednesday night. Everybody in here ought to be hollering amen because you're at church tonight. Whenever we get our eyes off of Christ and Christ alone, then I promise you something, we're going to fail. It's not about me. It's not about you. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And then know what he says. And ourselves, your servants, for Christ's sake. He said, look what he said. And ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. I've said this a million times, going to make it a million and one. Everybody says, I just want to be a servant until they're treated like a servant. You know what a servant's heart is? He has one desire, to be pleasing to the master and serve his master. No matter what it is, he's just to be pleasing to the master and to be pleasing to his master. I thought about this. We say this a lot. You know, preacher, I just want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's just see how he was. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can I just say something to you right there? There's more than 10 commandments in the Bible, and that's a commandment. He didn't ask us if we wanted to do this. He instructed us to do this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Preacher, I want to be like Christ. Well, you know what Christ was? He was a servant. You know what Christ did? Christ knew. Miss Tina, will you come start playing softly? I know I'm getting done a little bit early, but that's what the Lord gave me for tonight, and I'm not going to rush it into what I want to go into Sunday. And I thought about this. Christ being all-knowing, he was. He was as much God as God is God. Amen. He's co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful. He's God. He's God. God knew everything, and Jesus knew everything. Jesus knew, listen to me, that Peter was going to deny him 3 times and curse. But he washed his feet anyway. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him and sell him out. But he washed his feet anyway. Jesus knew that the majority of all the disciples would forsake him at the cross. But he washed their feet anyway. So, preacher, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying this. If we're going to be like Christ, we're going to push our feelings to the side. Our bitterness to the side. Our thoughts of others to the side. And we're going to take on the form of Christ. We're going to have to be a servant. We're going to have to be a servant. What did he do? He done this. He become obedient unto death. Obedient, the preaching tonight. He said, we become servants as ministry. We become servants. He said, become obedient unto death. If we're going to be like Christ, we're going to have to become obedient unto death. I'm not talking about that we're going to be crucified as crucified. But we die to ourselves. We die to our feelings. We die to 27 years ago, you just don't know what Robert Pott said to me. Well, he don't know either. He don't know what he said 27 minutes ago, does he?
Nope.
We become obedient unto death. Our preaching is this, that we died ourselves and we live for him. Well, you know what, preacher? There's just a bunch of hypocrites down there at the church. You're probably right. Anybody ever been to the gym? Anybody ever went to the gym? Anybody ever walked in the gym? Whenever you walked in the gym, you saw somebody that, Brother Brian, they just didn't fit in the gym. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest. They didn't fit in the gym. And in the back of your mind, you thought, what are they doing in here? In the back of your mind, you thought, they're a hypocrite. Why are they in here? They don't fit in here. They don't belong in here. Here you are running your 4, 5, 6 miles and lifting weights, and they're over there, and they've got 2 tenths in and just about went into cardiac arrest. And in the back of your mind, you think, well, they're a hypocrite. What are they doing in here? Maybe they're in there because they know they have a problem and they're trying to better themselves. Hear me and hear me well. I know I've got a problem. And I'm just trying to better myself while I am here. Is the church full of hypocrites? Yeah, just like any other place. But at least they know they got a problem and they're trying to get help with it. we push our feelings to the self and we die to ourself and we live to Him. Our preaching is Him tonight. Our ministry is Him tonight. Our Sunday school is Him tonight. Our singing is Him tonight. Everything we do, every facet of the ministries of Amazing Grace Baptist Church points back to one thing. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, what? Your servants for Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake. We become servants for His sake. We die, we become obedient to death ourselves for His sake. Why? So that, let's back up one verse, the light of the glorious gospel can penetrate into a dark world because we are the light of the world. And the problem is this, when we don't do that, our gospel is hid. Go back to verse 3. To them that are lost.